Jean Reynaud. Parisian Spiritist Society, Spontaneous Communication. My friends, how magnificent this new life is. It is like a luminous torrent, carrying along in its immense course souls athirst for the infinite. After breaking my bonds of flesh, my eyes beheld new horizons surrounding me, and I drank in the splendid marvels of the infinite. I passed through the shadows of matter to the scintillating dawn that proclaims the Almighty. I have been saved, not because of the merits of my works, but because I knew the eternal principle that enabled me to avoid the stains cast upon poor humankind by ignorance. My death was a blessing. My biographers will consider it premature. How blind they are. They will mourn a few writings born from dust, but will not understand how useful the attention around my newly shut tomb will be for the holy cause of Spiritism. My work was finished. My predecessors have followed its course. I had reached that culminating point at which a man has given his best and would do nothing but repeat himself. My death has rekindled the attention of the learned and has brought back my main opus, which addresses the Spiritist issue which they pretend to ignore, but which will soon enwrap them. Glory to God, aided by the high order spirits who watch over the new doctrine, I shall be one of the pioneers who blaze your trail. Jean Reynaud. Paris. A family meeting. Another spontaneous communication. The spirit responds to a thought formulated by his unexpected death at a young age, and which had surprised many people.
Who told you that my death would be of no benefit to Spiritism, its future and development? My friend, have you noticed the line of progress the Spiritist faith has taken? First, God granted the physical proofs, the dance of the tables, the raps, and all that sort of phenomena. These were meant to call attention to the matter and were an entertaining preface to it. People needed tangible evidence in order to believe. Now, however, it is quite different. After the physical evidence, God began to speak to the mind, to common sense and to cool reason, no longer through amazing phenomena, but through rational things that ought to convince and attract even the most obstinate disbeliever. And still, that was only just the beginning. Pay close attention to what I am saying. A whole series of intelligent and irrefutable phenomena are about to occur, and the already great numbers of followers of the Spiritist faith will increase further. God is going to take over the minds of the elite, the highest of intellect, talent, and knowledge. Will be a shining radiance that will expand over the whole earth like an irresistible fluid, and it will push the most recalcitrant to research the infinite, to the study of this wonderful science that teaches us such sublime maxims. All will gather around you, and regardless of any learned title they may have been conferred with, they will become humble and small in order to learn and be convinced. Later on, when they have been sufficiently taught and convinced, they will use their authority and their famous names to advance the cause even further and to reach the final limits of the goal that has been proposed to you, the regeneration of humankind through a rational and profound understanding of past and future existences. This is my sincere opinion about the current state of Spiritism.
In Bordeaux, evocation.
I am very pleased to answer your call, ma'am. Yes, you are right. I did not experience the state of confusion per se. This is in response to the medium's thought. I had been in voluntary exile on your earth, and was charged with casting the first serious seed of the great truths that are enveloping the world at this time. I always kept in mind an awareness of my homeland and quickly felt at home amongst my brothers.
I thank you for having wanted to come, but I had no idea that my wish to converse with you had exerted such an influence. The difference between us must be so great that I can only be in awe of it.
Thank you for such kind thoughts, my daughter. But you must also know that whatever may be the distance that separates us as a result of well or not so well completed trials, there is always a powerful tie that unites us, affinity. And this tie has become stronger through the constancy of your thought.
Although many spirits have explained their first sensations upon awakening, would you be so kind as to tell me what you experienced after becoming aware of your situation and how the separation between your spirit and body occurred?
In the same way as for everyone else, I felt the moment of my liberation drawing near, but I was happier about it than many because there was nothing to cause me any anxiety. I had already known about its consequences, although they were more impressive than I thought they would be. The body clouds the spirit faculties, and no matter how enlightened the spirit may have been before incarnating, its abilities are always to some degree stifled by contact with matter. Thus, I went to sleep in hopes of a happy awakening. My sleep was short, but the wonder was immense. Before my eyes, the heavenly splendors unfolded, shining in all their glory. My astonished sight dove into the immensities of those worlds whose existence and habitability I had believed in. It was an image that was revealed to me and which confirmed the truthfulness of my sentiments. No matter how secure men feel, when they speak, they often have moments of doubt and uncertainty in their hearts. If they do not doubt the truth they proclaim, they many times at least distrust the imperfect means used to demonstrate it. Convinced of the truth that I wanted to make accepted, I frequently had to struggle with myself against my lack of courage to see, to touch the truth, so to speak, and to be able to render it tangible to those who were in such great need of believing in order to securely follow their path.
Did you profess Spiritism while you were alive?
There is a big difference between professing and practicing. Many people profess a doctrine but do not practice it. I practiced it but did not profess it. In the same way that many people who follow the law of Christ are Christian, even though they do not realize it. One may be a spiritist by believing in the immortal soul, its preexistence, its incessant progressive evolution, and its earthly trials, which are necessary ablutions for its purification. I believe in these things and was therefore a spiritist. I understood the errant state, that phase of connection between incarnations, the purgatory in which the guilty spirit rids itself of its dirty garments in order to don new clothes, and where the evolving spirit carefully weaves the new garments it will wear and wants to keep clean. I understood all this, and although I didn't profess it, I nevertheless continually practiced it.
These three communications were obtained through three different mediums who were completely unknown to each other. The similarity of the thoughts and the form of the language allow for at least a presumption of identity. The expression, carefully weaves the new garment it will wear, is a wonderful image that portrays the solicitude with which the evolving spirit prepares for a new existence, during which it must continue to progress. Less evolved spirits are less meticulous, and many make disastrous choices that force them to start all over.